Welcome to Ever Beyond. Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sour in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, you are indeed. Welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. Welcome to Ever Beyond Radio. Welcome to Ever Beyond the Show. Welcome to this moment. You certainly are welcome to it. And here I am. And earlier on, we were talking about pyramids. And like I say, you know, I wouldn't say I was obsessed, but my house is full of them. And I've, you know, just got a few just sitting by the Messiah. I've got little Shanghai pyramids. I've got about, like, 8 of those. Some beautiful ruby. Oh, gosh, I've forgotten what it is. It's got rubies in it. That's a lovely piece. And then there's one I got from Robert Potter, which is the Fred Bell design. And Fred Bell, you might have heard of Fred Bell, grandson of Alexander Graham Bell. Bell Labs, that's where, you know, whose it is. And he has a particular method of making them from it's very quick. If you've got the technology to do it, it's very quick. It's kind of spot welded. And, it's made by long pieces of wire bent. But the type I have in my hand is a lot more painstakingly made. I was commissioned to make, quite a lot of them by my teacher, Maitreya. And he said, just make these, get it all right, make it spin right, and build me 50. And I didn't even know how to weld. So I had to, there was a bit of a learning curve with this whole thing. So I took it down to the fundamentals. So when I had, got my calculator out, because it was in the early 90s, mid 90s. I didn't quite have the laptops then. Did all the measurements and did it all from sort of first principles and Pythagorean proof and, sacred geometry principles. And I did all the studying on that and how the spiral and this and the Fibonacci and the this and that and the phi ratio and this and that. And, how the top of the pyramid, creates a sphere, a circle or a sphere that, creates the sphere, the sphere cubed or the circle squared. Basically, all right, here we go. All right, so let's start here. What's the pyramid all about? Why is it this size? Why is it this particular form? And there's lots of reasons, and some of them may be accidental. But if you were to take a wire, piece of wire, right, nice thick wire, say welding rod, because it stays nice and straight, springy, and it stays more or less straight. And you took, 36 inches. We use imperial here. It's much easier. You take 36 inches of wire. That's what we call a yard. And if you divide it into four pieces, you get 9 inches, and you make those into a square. Okay? Now, if you take another piece that is 36 inches long, and instead of cutting it, you bend it round gently until it's one perfect circle, and then you weld the ends together. Okay? So what you've got is the same length of wire, but two different forms of it. One is a square, one is a circle. Now, if you overlay the circle onto the square, you'll see that the little ends just kind of poke out like little ears, like teddy bear ears. Very, you know, small. And you can see that that is a balanced figure because you've got two forms of the same length. Do you see what I'm saying? So 36 divides into a 9-inch square, nine-inch square, and also a circle which has, now what is the diameter of that circle? I'm sure somebody could figure it out for me. So essentially you've got this form that embodies the square and the circle. All right, so astute listeners will understand where I'm going to with this, because the whole thing's about, right? Which is the divine union. And the divine union is between the masculine and the feminine, not between men and women, but between the masculine and the feminine in principle, because principles are divine and they don't have 3D bodies and shrekles and things. Anyway, so if you take these principles and bring them together, and you merge them into a form, what you get is the thing they call the circle squared. And if you were to take the plan of a church or any house of worship or any temple, you'll have this form embedded in it somewhere. Okay, so how does that relate to the pyramid? Well, okay, so remember we've got a circle made of stiff metal. Imagine now you take this circle and you hold the square up, so the square's sort of horizontal, and and take the circle and turn it at 90 degrees. Okay? Where the top of the circle occurs, that's where the top of the pyramid will be. And that's how the male and the female connect in the pyramid in one. That's why you don't see the circle, because the circle is the circle that touches the point. That's where the point is where that circle will peak, the top of the dome. Does that make sense, everybody? So, your heinous. So, I did all that mathematics and looked at all the sacred geometry things and I figured out the widths and the measurements, and then I cut pieces of metal to 9-inch, and then I learned how to weld. I made a jig, and then I got somebody to make me one, engineering firm, and I managed to create a sort of mass production, not quite a mass production, a medium scale production of 9-inch pyramids. And I have the very last remaining one. I don't know where all the rest of them went, but this was one that I made on his request to create this thing that he called a Leviton generator. All right. So let's get some deep metatronics. All right. So what we were doing is, essentially, okay. So I painstakingly made these pyramids, right? And then he said, right, okay, lay them out on the floor. And lay about seven of them. Basically, you make the shape of a, oh yeah, seven. You make seven, you do seven, end to end. Okay. And then, I think on one or two, on the, maybe the second or third down, you put one either side. Okay. So it's like ears or like a cross. And then he said, solder them together. So they're all laying out. And then, get some piano wire and kind of take this whole array and, curve it like a bow. So you've essentially got a kind of, satellite dish kind of event. You know, that sort of, parabolic curve like a bow. That has all these pyramids on it and all kind of held in tension by this piano wire that is tied and soldered. Anyway, so this thing he called a Leviton generator. And I was going, what is that about? And So here's the fun story. Okay, so I was working on these things in the garage, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and she became eventually the mother of my son, and bless her heart. And normally she, you know, she used to say, "Oh, I don't believe in all this crystal magic or anything like that." You know, none. You know, we lived in Glastonbury. You know, she doesn't believe in all that, but she ran a B&B, and she was into charities and running all this stuff, darling. Have I created a video on this process? No, no. This is an old story. Anyhow, so I had this. So I was working in this garage in the thing up on the top of Four Winds Hill in Glastonbury, just along from the Holy Thorn. I told a story about the Holy Thorn a few shows ago. If anybody's listens back, that's quite interesting. So there I was in this garage, and I'd made one or two of these things, and they were kind of stashed in the corner. Anyway, or it might have even just been the first one. So I had this thing standing up on a little stand that I'd put together. And so it was like a kind of big bow. It stood about as, well, sort of 7 times 9 inches, whatever that is, bowed around. So it was like, it stood about as tall as me. I'd just finished kind of getting all the tension right and getting it all to stand. And as I said, my girlfriend at the time came in and she was standing right in it. You know, if you could see a visible beam, she would be standing illuminated by that beam. Like Walt was talking about Slim Spurling. Anyhow, and I had not said anything about what I was doing, what I was working on, you know, why I was making all these pyramids and anything. And she said, "You know, Jerry, I don't know why," because she spoke like that, "I don't know why, but I feel like jumping for joy." And I said, "Damn, this thing works. It really does. It generates levity." And, you know, that was exactly the reaction which you would expect from something that creates levity particles. So, it's the field. Right, so what is going on? Anybody got any ideas? Actually, do you want to call me? Anybody ever want to come in on this? You can call over the phone. You can call over the interweb thing, Skype. We have numbers. What's the number? Any British people? I know it's past your bedtime, but anyway, if you want to call, you're 0141-356-4141. If you're in the US of A, you want to talk to me about pyramids only, pyramids, this was the theme of the show, and you did suggest it. And I said, "Can you remember the questions?" You see, I'm talking about it, but I don't remember the questions, and I want to maybe, go into some of these a bit. Anyway, you're calling telepathically. That doesn't work just yet. Because nobody else hears it. But, you know. Can you hear me, Mother? Hang on. Ah, proper British tea. Excellent, thank you. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, so this Leviton generator was actually did the job. And he made 4 of them so that he could, work on some really dark demons. And, basically he sat in a pyramid and he had one each of these in each of the cardinal directions. And, he was there pulling demons out of the center of Glastonbury for a couple of months. Yeah. So. Calling telepathic. So meanwhile, so the head pyramid. This 9-inch pyramid, called a head pyramid because if you, actually take the average human head, which is about the size of my head, which is an average, then when you stick it on the top of your head, the apex of the pyramid is very much convergent with your crown center, and the, king's chamber position is exactly where your, pineal gland is, and the queen's chamber is where the pituitary gland is, I think. Was this here? Yeah. All right. I misled. That's all right. Hang on. I'm getting distracted. Where did Caitlin 96 is? Oh, we're taught about pyramids was a huge BS. Let me read this out especially. We were taught about pyramids was a huge BS. Misconception and misleading, so we do not get what these devices were for. It is linked to who we are or what we could be since we have been previously. Yes, indeed. Do you want to call in? if you're still there. I used the sigil to get your PC back. Did you write with Shanghai Ink? Anyway, there's 2 minutes delay between what I see on the chat room and what you hear and things. So, pyramids. They're great fun. So from that, I started learning about the vortex and the thing. So what is the vortex? Because of that, of the tension that is created, when you create a pyramid form, you create a small tension in the fabric of space-time because of that marrying of the two divines. You see, it's the very hot and the very cold. That's what Vril is about. Vril is about the combination of something very intense and very spacious. The union of opposites. That's what that's a potential. Anything that is very far away from each other, distance, that's a potential. It takes an energy to get from one to the other. So it's an energy source. So if you've got something that's very, very volatile, that is like at once very, very cold and very, very hot, there's a lot of energy that you can tap from that. So that's why, nuclear substances are very difficult to handle because, they're very, energetic in their, have to put a lot of shielding because they chuck out their energy too much. Everything needs containment. Particularly stuff like Vril, which is incredibly corrosive and, dangerous and will turn people into black jelly. Not very nice. Anyway, meanwhile. Yes, indeed. Area code 404. You can turn off your radio. Yes, very corrosive. Hello.
Yes.
Hello. You're live on the air.
Hello.
Who's that?
Thank you.
Yes. Hello. Who's that? What's your name and where are you?
My name is Patricia Leto. I go by Trish.
Hi, Trish.
I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And I know I have a southern accent, maybe very difficult to understand.
Not at all difficult. It's very clear and lovely spoken, lovely voice. Please continue.
Oh, thank you. I'm very southern and I apologize for the accent.
No. But, no need to. It's lovely. We like it.
Well, thank you, JP. I've listened to you and the Adronicus information. I even went back to the archives, and I'm very intrigued and very appreciate the knowledge. And I was wondering, JP, you're talking about pyramids. Is that something we could build within our home? Would that be safe?
Oh, yeah. I really advocate it. I mean, certain people advocate actually living in a pyramid-shaped house as the ideal way of living on a planet.
I understand. I've listened to a lot of your shows. I had quite an experience happen to me in the spring. And Lee Brown, I've come to visit. She was on Nancy's show one time. And so I bought some shungite through her. And I guess I've just recently become awake. And am on a journey. And I just wanted to call in and not take up very much of your time.
Oh, don't worry. I enjoy talking to people. I like, especially new people. Keep going.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you for your information you're giving to a lot of us who have been very asleep here in the United States and who are just now recently waking up, and that it is due to your radio shows, you're in Haggy Shack, and all of the information that I have received, that I am just, I can't even begin to give you my gratitude.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much, Trish. But I'm sure you've got a thing.
It almost makes me come to tears, because I cannot tell you how grateful I am, and that you're giving so much service to all of us out here, JP, and to Jessica, who I think I just listened to her show this morning. She's somewhere at Mount Shasta. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. She's taking a trip out west. She didn't tell anybody apart from me until she got there.
Yes.
We did half
and
the show
I
a few days
to
ago.
James
Gilliland, yes. Gilliland, yes.
Yes. And I just wanted to reach out and say, you guys, in my opinion, is saving the world.
Well, you know, we're doing what we can. That's all we can do. You know, all I can do is, all I do is fiddle about with computers and audio and talk to people. But, I do like to find out what's going on. And now people are starting to tell me voluntarily. It's really good. I don't even have to go and seek it.
Yes. And, when I awoke, this spring, I remember, I'm 65 and I remember something, some people say I was astral traveling, but I disagree with that. I know something was putting me back in my bed, and I know that I remember my arms swinging, and it was after that I started waking up and realizing what was going on, and that's how I found Wolf Spirit and your Rooster Roger and your oh gosh, the wild kitten. I can't think of what the feline. No, that's not the word. Anyway, I listen to you religiously, and I just wanted to tell you, you're doing such great service to those of us out here, and how much we appreciate you and everyone on Haggy Shack, Wolf Spirit, all of it. I listen to, and how much I appreciate you, JP, and I won't keep any more of your time. That was the reason for my phone call.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, but surely you have a question. You know, if you had a question. Everybody's got questions. Everybody's got a puzzle. And everybody's got a thing, you know, like a quest. Like for instance, you know, I've got a quest about pyramids and you know, I'm going to talk about a lot more. I mean, I spoke a little bit about it on Simon's show, but is there anything else you?
Yes, and I missed that this afternoon. I was out doing something with my daughter and family.
Well, the archives the archives up already. You can download it from the Wolf Spirit Archive.
Yeah,
I'll have it on YouTube by tomorrow.
My main question is, tell us how we can build one.
All right, so here's the thing. All right, stick with me, Trish. Let's go through this, because the next thing is so that what I was discussing was made out of welding rod. It required some specialist equipment. It was quite tricky to make, and I had to be very, very precise and stuff. And then he said, okay, so that's good. Now I want you to make 90 inches. Not 9 inches, but 90 inches. And I want you to make it out of copper pipe. And I want you to make it also with 4 octahedrons, 1/10 of the size at each end. So they're tricky, right? That's up. You know, I tried to use the welding torch, and of course it turned the copper to butter. It just turned it to soup, you know. So, and I tried using all sorts of different things, you know, but the best thing is household copper tubing, right? What we call half-inch tubing. Have you heard of half-inch tubing?
My daughter is a silversmither, you know, just because she does it for fun. And so I know about copper, and I've seen it at, like, Lowe's and different places we have here that provides it.
Yeah, it's household plumbing, you know, in the plumbing department. All right, so here's this is the easiest knockdown way of making a pyramid at home, right? Or at least in a simple enough garage, because that's what I did. I made a simple enough garage version, and I used a vise, a center punch. Do you know what a center punch is?
No, I'm sorry, JP. I'm not very technical.
All right, sorry. I'm being very specific here. All right, so basically, how you would make one is there are two lengths of the pyramid. There's the length of the side wall, which makes this square, yeah? And then there's the length of the arms, which join together at the apex, yeah? So when I say the base, you know, that's the square, and then the arms are the things that go together and make the apex and join to the apex and makes the pyramid, right? What I would do is I took this pipe and measured it, and I've got this marvelous little thing. It's called a pipe cutter. Yeah, right. Okay. It's a little device. It's a beautiful little thing, and it's like a circle, like a donut shape, and it's got a section that opens up, and it slips onto the wire, onto the cable, and then you fold it closed, and it forms the circle again. It clamps on, and it's got little teeth in it. And you can very precisely, then just turn it a few turns, and it cuts the copper, and it makes the ends safe as well, so you don't cut your fingers on it. It's very neat. You flatten the ends, and bend them a little bit, or you drill them, and then bend them a little bit, and then you join all the pieces together with bolts. And so all you need to know is how much there's the difference in length between the base and the side arms.
Okay, so JP, once you do the copper, what do you use to, or do you have anything that would enclose it? Or do you just simply have it open with the tubing?
Yeah, the tubing will do it. And then you can place this over your bed. You don't need to cover it over. I mean, you could, you know, for effect.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you just do the tubing. Okay.
Yeah. Here it is. If you want to build a home pyramid, I think, you know, you can get away with just about, if you take whatever your base length is going to be, like say you're going to have 90 inches, the side arms are 96% of that figure. Okay? So whatever it is.
Okay.
So if it's 90 inches, it's 90% of 90 inches, and that's the length of the side arm. All right? Using a vise and a jig, because you want to hold the ends steady and parallel with each other, you squeeze the end inch and drill a hole in it. And then you can, that's how you join the eight pieces together by a bolt.
A question, because I'll probably hire someone to do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
So does it need to be the width of your bed?
It needs to be big enough so that it can encompass your bed. So if you've got a low-lying bed, you can use a smaller one. But basically you want to end up where that you're lying. If you're lying right in the middle of it, you're in the king's chamber position. And the king's chamber position is one third of the way up of the height.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Maybe I need somebody to do some drawings for me to illustrate what I'm talking about, because it's very much a pictorial thing. Maybe I need to make a slideshow. God, I haven't got the time for this.
Well,
anyway,
now
meanwhile,
that you tell me it doesn't need to be enclosed, that it can just simply be copper tubing.
Yeah.
I'm sure, because I told you I'm not technical, but if I get a hold of a technical person, they can make that for me.
Yeah. The ideal thing is if you could get a casting. And it is possible to buy them from India, but they're hellishly expensive, $150 or so, or maybe even more.
Okay.
But you can basically, then all you need to do is go to your home base, or whatever you call it, buy yourself a pipe cutter for the appropriate size of pipe, and you then assemble it using the ends that you get in the post with the pipe that you buy from the local store. They're quite chunky,
okay.
But I wouldn't buy aluminium ones. Don't use
right.
Don't
I,
use
I think
iron.
I would want copper.
Yeah. Don't use iron, and don't use aluminium on your pyramid. Those are base metals. We were told not to use the base metals. So your bolts.
I have an iron bed. Okay.
You have an iron bed.
Yes.
You might need to get a wooden one.
From Western
really?
Frustration Hardware. I had a wood one and I got rid of it.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, there are other places you can use your pyramid. You could have a meditation. Do you have a meditation room?
I have a condo and I guess I could turn any room I wanted into a meditation room.
Yeah. So you could have in fact, if you've got a room that is upstairs of your bedroom, maybe. Or downstairs of your bedroom, depending on the vibrations. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It may not be appropriate to sleep in a vortex in a pyramid, right? You might need to experiment.
I'm just thinking in my iron bed, and this might not be a good idea.
So, and he didn't recommend sleeping in an iron bed.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. I have I call it my small little porch that I have plants and all. Out there might be a perfect place to have it.
Right. So, essentially, it needs to be away from iron and other things that, you know, have their field. You know, iron's got a magnetic field. See if you sleep, you know, you might be able to sleep outside one night or sleep with it. I had one, I had it in the garden next to my, next to the house, and, it got invaded by a bunch of cows. No kidding. I'm not people that I don't like, but a real bunch of cows with hooves and moves.
I grew up on a farm and I love animals, but I live in the city of Atlanta. But I do have my porch, which is outside with some green space next to me with some beautiful trees that I talk to every morning. And it might be nice to have it out there.
Sounds lovely.
And can I ask you one more question, and then I'll let you go for your show. And I apologize.
Please don't apologize. I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's a Southerner. We're very apologetic. Can you give me briefly, and maybe the audience that are new like I am to your shows, what are the benefits of it, JP?
The benefits of having a pyramid?
Yes.
Well, it puts a vortex in your cortex. That's what I say. It's really hard to have a negative thought if you're sitting in a pyramid. Really. I mean, there's no way to describe it. Until you actually experience it, because it's an experience that you don't normally have. People don't normally sit in pyramids, but when you do, you'll find it's a different atmosphere. It's like, here I am, I feel like I'm in this thing, and yet it seems to be open, and yet it feels enclosed. I can't describe it any better than that. Until you sit in it, you will not know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I do want to experience it. I think it's I think we're more than what we've been taught to be. And ever since I heard that we shouldn't be living in these cube square homes, it just makes me want to sell and go buy some land and live in a pyramid. But anyway, I just, again, thank you so much, JP, and I really didn't expect I was going to get through. That's why I had my iPad on next to my bed listening to your show. So I'm privileged I got to speak to you.
Oh, yeah, it's not hard. I don't buy it. Well, not hard anyway. So it's, you know, here's the thing. The people of the United States have been living until about 300 odd years ago, mainly in pyramid type buildings, i.e. teepees. They're kind of pyramid formed, aren't they?
Yes, I
they're
am
almost like the crystal
Native
tipped
American
cone.
Descent. Yes.
Yeah. They're crystal tipped cones, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You see? It's like, that's what the end of a quartz crystal looks like. Or of a cut crystal. Looks like a teepee, doesn't it? Something
yes,
in there.
I have. Yes. Yes.
You know, and it's got.
Well, we love you out here, JP.
Oh, bless you. I love, you know, I really like Americans. I, you know, the American people are fantastic. Big hearts.
Well,
love, lots of love.
It's, not all of us buy into the propaganda, of what goes on here. And I really think a lot of us have really big hearts. And, you know, we do not wish to wage war on anyone. And, I think sometimes we're in the news a way that the common us are really not. You know, we're not like the Kardashians. We grew up on farms and land, and we have a very basic need. And we're not all bad here, so.
All right. So, look, I think you're all lovely, right? Especially the people that tune into All Spirit Radio. We have very few trolls because, you know, we're about really genuine. I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm not here for my ego. It just seems to be that the things that I've been interested in over the years, also seem to correspond with the kind of things that people need to know about right now. I never realized it at the time. I just did what I did and learned what I learned and enjoyed what I enjoyed. And here I am.
And, you know, JP, I think the truth and the bottom line, really, to me, is we're all the same throughout this whole world. And we like, and I think they like to try to divide us, but we really are not divided.
Indeed. Indeed. We're all remembering that we're all one family.
So yes.
Children of the mm-hmm. law of one. Bright Eyes has done a brilliant rendition of that book. Do go to the Wolf Spirit archives and download Children of the Law of One from Haggy Shack's thing. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you, JP. Again, to you, Jessica, Walt, Nancy, Colleen, Vanessa, all of those people. And, is it Audrey Ewis?
That's very well done. Audrey Ewis, yeah.
Yes. We thank him and Max still and everybody. There is an audience out here that listens to all of you, and I'm glad I got to touch base for a brief moment to tell you that.
Oh, bless your hearts. So thank you very much. Whereabouts are you? Let me just check.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
Yes.
And there's lots of you. Oh, that's cool. That's all right.
Yes. Lee Brown was on, I think she was on Dolly's show. And, I looked her up and I found where she lives. She lives a little, maybe 20 miles from me. And I went and bought some shungite and some crystals and some different things from her. And it was a nice visit.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can see, I can see two listeners in Atlanta, so that's great. So, hello Atlanta! There we are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kisses to you and everyone.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you very much. Oh, look, there's Birmingham. Way down south in Alabama, near Birmingham. Oh, cool.
Yes, I actually grew up in Mississippi.
Is that a place? I thought it was a, so is
it's
there?
It's a state.
Oh, it's a whole state,
it's a
yes.
State. You've got Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and then Texas.
Well. All right. Yes. Okay. So thanks
right,
for thanks for calling,
care.
Trish.
Take care.
God bless you. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Hello. Hello. Can you turn off your radio?
Hello?
Turn off your radio. There we go. Yeah. You have to turn off the radio first.
Okay. Hang on.
I am hanging. Oh, I am hanging on a thread, swinging from right. side to side. Right. Okay. Cover the time. Hello. Hello. Who's that?
It's
you're in
that.
U of K.
Bernadette.
It's Bernadette. Oh, Bernadette yes. Reed. Good yes. morning. Good afternoon. Good. Where are we? We're in Britain. Yeah, good evening. How are you?
Yes, I'm pretty good. Enjoying listening to your pyramid talk.
Wow. So, I have to, is it okay for me to talk about this? That,
yeah.
That you were involved in the same group and experienced the pyramids, that I was talking about. Plus other yes. things, and also was involved in some manufacturer. So, yeah, let rip, Bernadette. Go for it, my love.
Well, I'm listening to this, of course, was transported back to the time of the pyramids and those pyramids. And, yes, I can remember meditating in front, in the center of the vortex pyramid. And I also... I'd forgotten about this, but actually the, when we did a sort of group meditation thing, being a central point under it, and when I was in that position, it was very unwavering. You know, it was an extremely, focusing thing in terms of thoughts, you know, that I don't remember thoughts straying at all, but it was very one-pointed, as the phrase was. Hello?
Yep, yep. Keep going. I've just added another
yeah.
caller, but keep going. One pointed, yeah.
Fact, and I can remember in a particular sound working session, which I'm sure had sort of, you know, other energetic components to it as well. Going kind of very quite deeply into myself, you know, and going far, and coming back with some realization about the Native North Americans' teepee living and pyramids. And, you know, just having never thought about that at all, but just coming out of it and saying the Native North Americans actually understood about pyramids, didn't they? To which, of course, the answer was yes.
Yes.
And there was sharing of information about the two directions of the pyramid within the pyramid structure. So there's the pyramid spiraling up, and from ground level, the pyramid spiraling down. So you've got that sort of complementary geometric structure going on. Hello?
Sorry about that. Somebody I just had to cut them off because of the noise that they get. This came out. Yeah, so there was the pyramid spiraling up and the pyramid spiraling down. So you were in the center of the counter-rotating vortex.
Yes.
And go ahead.
You know, there was just a lot of kind of journeying there, not all of it conscious, but there was quite an impact on the energy field. But I think it's quite interesting. You know, obviously, there's a part of me that can't really quantify any of that now, but I notice it, that it's been part of my life experience, if you like. And there's also the possibility, I think, in something like that to become quite separated and fragmented until that kind of experience is moved through the heart. And that was something that happened for me some years later. But I have a question for you, actually, as well, about the... I was hearing you talking about the forms, the kind of welded together chain of pyramids and that kind of cross formation at the ends. I can remember, you know, not knowing anything about those and just going up to them and placing my hands above them and actually noticing a distinct difference in temperature.
Yes.
In the air above the form.
Yes. It was like a cooling breeze.
Yes. Like it was cold.
Yes.
It was like a cold wind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would venture to say that that's like the cooling breath that I've been using with my clients, using the in through the nose and out through the mouth. That's the similar sort of thing because it cools that spicy hot energy down, and which is right. You know, the burning the acid burn of negativity.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. But it's that whole idea of the bowing effect and stuff. I mean, yeah, it's so interesting. It's like this needs some visuals, really.
Absolutely. I hope that there's some artists who can visualize this and maybe send in some pictures. That would be really cool. Just send in some drawings. Maybe I don't know. No. Don't make me promise anything. I mustn't promise things because I can't deliver, so I haven't got the time. Anyway, but it'd be cool to see it. But I can give descriptions and things. I haven't got any photos. I don't think you've got any photos. But so the Leviton generators. Did you ever sit in the pyramid with when they were set up? Where was it? Is in that little shop above Glastonbury, High Street.
Oh, in Glastonbury, no, I never did that. No.
Which? Where did you?
It was very interesting. The Leviton, yeah. Gravity and levity, yes, very interesting that we live between those poles, really.
Yeah, actually, Simon Parks, our host earlier, was saying that gravity is the result of light falling onto the planet. How about that? We are pushed onto the planet like bugs on a windscreen.
Yes, interesting. Sad, really. So, yeah, for just another thing, you know, to hear your comments about that temperature change, and yeah, there's so much there about it, really. Yes, thank you for triggering the memory there.
Oh, it's really not. I mean, it's fantastic to have actually somebody, you know, it's not an empty story. This is something that was shared by a small group of people who became my deep friends and companions through this spiritual journey. We've been through some shit, haven't we? We've been through some really, really shitty things. You know, I just want to just let rip with this because, you know, people might think being spiritual is all like, oh, la-di-da, I just had an initiation and somebody went bing on my head and I felt better. No, it's usually incredibly traumatic, very painful. You have to face some shit, you know, real horrible, nasty things about you, yourself, humanity, the way we are. Yeah. You have to face reality.
Yeah, there is the moving through that.
Yeah.
Or, I suppose the realization that what you are, that can move through, really, yeah.
And it's really about, you know, the knowing that we are a spiritual being having a human experience. And there comes a point from the standpoint of like what we call the average human, which is I'm a human and I have a soul and I can trade it. And it's the reason I'm conscious is because I've got a brain and I've got enough brain cells and it's sufficiently complex and all this bollocks. There comes a time when that line is crossed between that worldview and the other worldview. And you start to see the sparkle happen again. And, this is the previous caller. She came in and she said, I've just kind of woken up, you know, one day things, you know, and she's now understanding who she is as a spiritual being in this physical body. And it's just fantastic to hear it all happening. Cause 20 years ago, was it 20 years ago? It was more than 20 years ago, 22, 23 years ago now, when we were doing this stuff, it was just in the etheric world, and it's taken 20 years to filter down to everyday reality.
Yeah. I'm losing your signal now. You've got a little bit underwater.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, am I?
Hello? Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back into the radio so I can hear what you're saying, because I've lost you on this. But thank you very much for the invitation to call in.
Bernadette, okay, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling in. Good
Bye.
Night.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, thank you, Bernadette. That's brilliant. Thank you very much for your patience, Patrick. You may now unmute your microphone.
I'm on.
You're on. You're here. You're live on the air on Ever Beyond. Good evening, Patrick. How are you, mate?
I'm doing wonderful, JP. I would reiterate everything Patricia said about the service that you're doing and offering. It's she said it so beautifully, but I feel exactly the same.
Well, thank you very much, and I thank you. And so do you have any pyramid thoughts? And Ray, don't forget, please mute yourself.
Wonderful.
Ray, yeah. mute. Ray.
Trish.
Mute
Shasetta,
yourself.
About.
Ray, mute yourself and then call back, okay? Or turn off the radio first. Sorry.
No problem.
If you're calling in, please turn off your radio before I pick up the phone. Or it'll just kind of feed back in this weird time loop. Anyway, Patrick, pyramid thoughts.
Yes. Well, it's so interesting because I did go, you know, in fact, I went to Standing Rock it was after the session I had with you, and you mentioned about, service, and I feel like I generally, my whole life is trying to be of service, but it was, you know, just trying to be a little bit more practical about it. But to be out there and to, you know, because I'd already listened to your shows and to really take in the teepees that were out there, and they're just so magnificent, so beautiful to look at. Whether it be a pyramid, the teepees, yurts, they just make a lot of sense. It's something internal. It's like, that just makes a lot of sense. Also, I really appreciate what you were saying with the copper pipe. It might be nice to, it doesn't need to be now, because I maybe just need to re-listen and get all the details, because there's a lot of details you gave that would make making something like that much easier. So, but thank you for the suggestions about making a cop. That was brilliant. Easy to go get the copper, piping. That's no problem at all. It's just kind of the details of like how to do the bolts and this, that, and the other. But again, I'm sure I'll figure that out.
Yeah. I've got a whole page on, a photo album of, the construction of one of these things. I think I've got it in under the construction of it. But anyway, here's the trick. All right. So, let's just, expand it. Actually, let's put a tune on. I'm going to put some Steve Hillage because I like Steve Hillage. Do you know who Steve Hillage is?
I don't, but that song you played right after, in between, Simon Parks, I've never heard that song. That was such a great tune. No, I'm sorry. I haven't heard Steve, but please, anything you've played.
Oh, She's So Mean.
Oh God, I couldn't believe that. That was such, I was like, what a song.
Yeah. Good song. It's actually it's not a big band. It's, I used to be involved with the AFC, it started out as, I can't remember, the Acoustic Forum Collective.
It's so weird how certain songs hit us so deep. It's like, I don't know, that song hit me. I was like, oh my God. It's like, you know, I think I deal with loneliness, so people come into my life, and you know, they're great people, but yeah, it's like, the records are all, they're all scratched, and this is like, oh God. It's not that I have records, but just that experience of chaos, like, and by the way, I also loved your story. Of your, the making of the pyramids and your wife standing, your ex-wife standing in. Yeah. That was just, I love these older stories you share as well. Thank you.
Well, you know, that's what you talk about. This is the way you get your materials is from your own experiences. And I realized that what I thought was a normality, you know, cause when you're living life, that's normal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's just everything's normal and you know, you do your thing cause that's normal. And then, you realize, you know, once you look back on it, that, oh, that wasn't quite normal. but, you know, that's why you have to get there. This is what you do to get there. And so, anyway, I'm just going to put some Hillage on, which is, it's going to take a while, but I need to have something to eat and you know, what's that word? Yeah, not do that. But anyway, please, this is
no Lipton tea, I hope.
Yeah, so look, check it out. This is Steve Hillage. The first one is called the Activation Meditation, and the second one is called the Glorious Om Riff. And it's, yeah, just kind of sit back and chill to it. This is hippie music at its best. Steve Hillage.
Amen.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yes, you are. And it's very difficult to put a pair of headphones on with a pyramid on your head. That's right. Take it off first. Anyway. Okay, my guest. my next guest on the phone, Patrick Anderson. Hey, where were we? We had a pin in something and we were just about to start discussion of some topic which has entirely escaped me.
Oh, well, since the topic is about pyramids, I started out, aside from the compliment about just what you're doing on the radio show and talking about She's So Mean and a few other details, we were going to talk about maybe the pyramids and, you said a paper or some sort of thing that we can look at, a document or something, to make our own, copper piping or something like this. And then I was just sharing, my experience at Standing Rock. And it's also fun because I did get a mention that I was able to get some shungite in the center there. So, we'll see.
Oh, that's very good. So if anybody's got shungite and, you want to send some good energy there, then use the shungite like a portal, like a mobile phone, that will then, transmit energy on a quantum level. So instantaneously through to Standing Rock. And there you've got the portal there. So well done.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for everything that's shared on this radio. Even today, the thing with graphite and writing with a pencil and the paper, it's just so many things that it is just like Trish said, so many things that we, you know, just new information. It's just so powerful to be exposed to it.
Indeed it is.
Or what Simon Park says is information being remembered again, forgotten, remembered, or lost, remembered.
That's so, right.
Maybe not remembered, but it's just coming back into consciousness, I guess.
Yeah. There's another word is recapitulate, which means to get your head back. When you meet somebody, or maybe you hear somebody on a radio that you've known in a past life, there's a frequency that is stored in their aura.
Wow.
That is yours. You know, you met them, you knew them then. They remember you as you were then.
Wow.
Or on a kind of cellular level, DNA level. And then you get that frequency back.
Wow.
So that's what we call recapitulation. So for instance, if I knew you in a past life, for instance, and, you were a third degree initiate and there you are today as a first degree initiate, you'll then recapitulate that those two initiations.
Wow.
So it's not really, you know, it's not really instant enlightenment because you're already enlightened. It's just it takes you to that level again. Now it's up to you to hold that frequency.
Yes.
In your daily life, and that's why it's good to have a pyramid, because the pyramid can help you hold the frequency that is you.
Wow. I do know that. It's interesting, like, I really love everybody on your show. Literally every single one. It's hard to ever make one stand out, but it is interesting that, I really love Win Keach. I mean, there's something about the way he talks and interacts. Obviously Simon is just such a gentleman and, I mean, but there's certain people and your voice as well. I mean, when you started the Ever Beyond radio show today, I was listening. And even the way the music comes on, it just draws you right in. It's just like, oh my goodness. You know, just the sound frequencies that you've used and the way that you put that introduction together. But yeah, you can, it's something that, again, as we tap into our heart, we can really feel, it's just this knowledge that, I don't want to say you know somebody, but you feel a type of connection. And I believe we have that ultimately with everything and everyone, but there's certain people that are just simply closer or who spent, you know, more time together, however it works. I don't know, but,
go on. That's all right. Go on.
That was odd.
All right. So, current archives. Very good, Merfling. Yeah. she'll get that in a minute. Creating circuits, current archives. Anyway, meanwhile, as I said, it's what I've discovered that I'm good at, you know, fiddling around with the radios and things. And, it's all about frequency, and it's all about understanding that it's all one spectrum. You know, people see light as one thing and sound as another and smell as another thing, but they're all one continuum. You know, the 88 keys of a piano, that's what we hear. That's our frequency range of our ear, more or less. And, that's only 7 octaves. And it just keeps going, and there's 7 octaves of 7 octaves of 7 octaves, you know? Just keeps going. And, you know, sound becomes infrared, becomes light, becomes X-rays, becomes gamma rays, becomes cosmic rays, and et cetera. Just keeps going up. So, what's this to do with pyramids? Well, yeah, So here's the thing. The really tricky part about making a copper pyramid. Let's get really down to practical, because.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
All right. So, write this down, Patrick.
I got a pen and paper right here.
There we go. You will need 5 brass bolts, M5, with nuts.
I'm sorry.
M5 millimeter.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Maybe M5, maybe M4. Yeah, M4. That's substantial. You could get away with M3. That basically means 3 millimeters, 4 millimeters. So anyway, 5 of those brass bolts, about, 1.25 inches long, say, for good measure, but they could be less than that. You could, if you like, use butterfly wing nuts. What do you call them? Wing nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, brass. Don't use steel or aluminium.
Mm.
Everything copper or brass.
Okay.
The golden metals. Yes, easy to remember. Anyhow, so that's what you bolt the thing together with. I mean, you could even, and I have, gotten away with using copper wire. You know, I just used some thick copper wire, bent it into a hairpin, and shoved it through and pulled the legs apart. You know, and that's a very quick way of making a joint without using bolts. In fact, I think I lost bolts, and that's why I did it. I thought, I could do it like that. Much easier. Cheaper. So, you know, just squeeze it. So
what you would do with the copper wire is you would wrap it around the joints, or you would send it right through the copper pipe itself?
You put it through so it's just instead of bolts, instead of using a bolt, you use what's called a split pin.
Oh, I'm sorry. That makes total sense. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, that's really, you know, all right. So the tools that you'll need is a pipe cutter or, a very accurate saw, you know, a very accurate eye and stuff, but it's much easier to use a pipe cutter because you can just mark it and click it onto the pipe and spin it around and boom, it's a very accurate thing. You cut your lengths. So you've got 8 pipes, 4 of the side length and 96% of that value. The next thing you're going to do, what you're going to need, right? So here's the tricky part. You're going to need to squish both ends of each pipe, and you're going to need to squish them in parallel with each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to flatten the ends, and they have to be exactly in line with each other. If they're not, then your pyramid goes wonky. Yeah? Believe me, it's true. It happened to me. You know, it's a precise thing. This is the one thing you have to get precise. This is why I say it's tricky. So the way I did it is I made this little jig that had I cut a slot in a piece of wood and screwed it to the side of my bench. That would rest the first, piece of pipe, the first, flattened end, into a slot.
To give measurements, you said 36, is the 36 inches okay here? And then so there's 8 pipes. I don't even mind if you just throw out the measurements. So you have 4 pipes.
So, a 7'6", pyramid, which stands about 5 feet high, is 90 inches on a side, on the base, and the side arms are 96% of that 90 inches.
Okay.
So it's a very simple, you know, it's a very simple measurement. And then at the end, you take the last inch and you compress that in a vise.
Yep.
Okay. And then you take the, you turn the pole over, you know, turn it around the other way, and you put the flattened end into a jig that holds it perfectly vertical.
Okay. All right.
That's the only trick. That's all the only trick you need is you need to have this kind of mechanism that will hold the thing, exactly with that flattened end perfectly vertical so that when you squash the other end in the vise, it's exactly in line with it. Right?
Yes.
That's the only really tricky thing you need to do. Right? And now I've told you how to do it. You just need to get a block of wood and you cut a nice, vertical line in that. Or you could make it out of, three pieces of plywood, with a tiny thin sliver there in the middle to get that gap, that's the right size. And then you screw and bolt them, glue them together. Doesn't matter. You know, just do what you do. It's just, you just need something that will hold that together. You could use a mole grip. You could, you know, many different ways of doing it. Many different ways. Just be creative. This is the thing, right? Mm. So this is the thing. Is the best thing is really to figure it out all for yourself.
Yes.
Like I did. Mm-hmm. That gives you the same kind of knowledge that I've got, because in doing all of that, I had to engage some parts of my brain that I'd never experienced, you know? You know, I had to really get down to the basic maths, the whole arithmetic, geometry, how it all fits together, why the third, why the you know, why the King's Chamber position is where it's at, what that's all about. You know, all of those things engage different parts of your knowledge, and it really is edifying, I have to say. It's an edifying procedure. Can we use duct tape? Yes. Okay, so... So, once you've compressed the ends, you've flattened both ends of each pipe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can get a center punch. Do you know what a center punch is?
Ooh, it's weird. Every term you've used so far, I do know what it is. Yeah. I don't think it'd be hard for me to find it.
It's made of steel. It's got a very sharp, rounded point on the end, and it's used for you can mark a piece of hardwood or it's where you're going to hit now.
Thank
All you. Right, so it's just where you're going to put the screw. So you center punch the middle and then you screw it. Judy, hello.
Hello.
Can you mute yourself for a while until I bring you in? Thank you. You have a mute button? You have a privacy button on your telephone?
Let me see if I have one.
It's very noisy and I'd like to finish my thought. Thank you. Yeah, that'll do. As long as you can hear us. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so where was I? Yeah. Having compressed the ends, flattened the ends, we put a punch right in the middle where we then drill a hole. If you've got a bench press drill, that's great, but you can use an electric drill. Or even if you wanted to, you put a piece of softwood underneath it and hammer a great big nail into it. You know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever you're just punching a hole. Mm-hmm. And once you've punched a hole in all 16 ends of 8 rods, then you can join them together with our aforementioned 5 bolts or pins. You put a 45 degree, no, you put a, do you? Yeah, you put a 45 degree, bend in the 4 longest pieces. And, you have a 42 and 48 degree bend in the bottom and the top, respectively.
42 degree bend. And yeah. 45 degree bend and a 42 degree bend. For the
42 and 48.
Oh, okay.
On the side arms. The side arms, yes. You see?
Okay.
And then you stick your bolts in and stick your cushion underneath it and go home. So there you go. And you can laugh like that. So there you go. So how's that? Is that good enough detail there, Patrick?
That is fantastic.
All right.
And even what you said there too is and you're absolutely right, it's the process of going through something like this, you'll learn about it as you go through it, you'll learn about the measurements, you'll kind of, yeah, so you're absolutely right.
It's lovely. It's a really good experience, for boys and for girls. So thank you. Thanks very much, Patrick. Thanks for calling. I'll take you on.
Thank you, JP.
Okay. God bless you. Good night. So Judy, now you want to come back in? Hello, hello.
I'm here.
There you are. Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm tired from the energies pushing around deep down inside, but that's life, right?
Well, we've all got our processes to go through. And, I have to say, I had a terrible one yesterday. It was really crap. But I feel a lot better today. And, yeah, it's just migraines. They do it to me. It's a big process. No good. Anyway, migraines. So how are you? What's up?
Well, I was going off on the migraine thing and thinking it's food allergies, hormonal imbalances, spinal curvatures. And I thought, no. Anyway, about this pyramid, I'm completely enthralled because I've had to take antidepressants for a while, and I don't like the idea. And I was looking for, I've been just screaming at God, please show me another way, and then you just start talking about the pyramid.
Right.
And I wondered several things about it. Is there a minimum size that would cause a good effect? Does it have to be, yeah, that's, well, is there a minimum size, do you think?
How big are you? You make it your size.
5'4"
You are, you make it so that it's big enough for you to sit down in. If you're alone, right? Or do you live in a community?
No, I'm by myself.
Okay, so you want something for you, right? Now you can either have something that you can lay down in, so that's big enough to so that you can lay right down in the middle of.
Okay.
How's your space in your house? Have you got a large amount of space? Have you got large areas?
I have enough, yeah.
All right, so if you're a healer, right, you got a healing table. You get one that's it's big enough to put the healing table in, have the vortex at the one-third point, and you put it up on blocks, you know. You use a breeze block or, you know, what do you call it, a cinder block, or wooden blocks or whatever. So it's at the same height. So that's the right height when you're laying down, if you're doing healings with it. Or you can, have it laying on, you can lay on the floor on a bed or, a roll or something. Mattress. It doesn't matter.
Does it have to be outside of my body parameters, or can it be hanging from the ceiling above and then shooting down while I sit in my chair?
I would use a different form if you want it hanging above your body. I'd use maybe tetrahedral forms or things like that.
Okay.
But because the pyramid is not meant to spin. It does the spinning for you.
Okay.
So if you hang something, it's going to spin, isn't it? And there, you need a tetrahedral form. It's got a different geometry for you.
Okay.
I have lots of tetrahedral forms that I hang from my ceiling. It's more conducive. It's more spinny. You see, 4 square is solid. Three is spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much, Home Depot, that's the place. That's what it's called in America. Home Depot is where you'd get the copper pipe, you know, and the plumbing supplies, and you can normally buy it by a pack of 10.
I love that store.
Yeah. So you could do it, pretty cheaply, but the trick is, do you have a vice?
I can come up with one. I've got a son-in-law who does home repair, and he's one of his boys. I was actually going to tell him about this so that he could make one for my grandson, because he has a little bit of trouble going to sleep.
All right.
And if he made it for him and then made it like a tent or a teepee, that would make it even easier for him to get in there. But, yeah, I can come up with something.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, basically you need some way of compressing the ends so that they're flattened and they're bent gently at those angles, 45 degrees for the base and 42 and 48 for the bottom and the top. If yeah, just get them to listen to the show or write down the dimensions that I've given in the show.
I wrote them down while you were telling Patrick. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I remember that right?
Yeah, correct.
When you were working with this, did you notice any change in the electrical parts, like heart arrhythmias, blood pressure, dizziness, anything that would affect any disease pattern that's existing?
It's like, you know when Frank Jordan does his healings, he said, by the power of the Christ within, we see the such and such in the pure and perfect condition.
Okay.
Yeah? It's the blueprint. Where this thing vibrates is on the level of the blueprint of you as you. And so it connects with the spirit of you as the spiritual being having a human experience so that you can then re-manifest yourself in the 3D from the blueprint of your soul. No pressure.
Assuming that part of the soul is healed up.
Mm-mm.
Or does
Excuse
it
me.
Not...
Excuse me. Souls Pardon? Never get hurt. Souls never need healing.
Uh-oh.
Only the body needs
what
healing.
What part of us does need healing then?
Well, the body and it's the personality expression, which some people call the low soul or the ego. That's what needs healing, and it needs orientation towards the real soul. You know? So, and this is the thing, you know? This is the point that I was saying with Bernadette earlier. There is a point in your spiritual development when you cross the gap between knowing that, you know, you've heard the stories that we're a spirit having a physical experience, but when you feel it, when you remember it,
mm-hmm.
you cross that line and you no longer ever, ever, ever have doubts
mm-hmm.
about who you are and what is possible. Because a doubt, that's your debt. That's why you're poor, because you doubt that you're rich. You doubt that you're wealthy. Don't worry about being rich or wealthy. Whatever it is that is, you know, that doesn't harm anybody. You know, money is just mm-hmm. to be used. It's just, you know, we should not have any more truck about money than we do about petrol, gasoline, diesel, a stack of wood. They're forms of energy and they're all equally, important. You understand what I'm saying? Money is not more important than any other form of energy. It's just a form of energy. And when you can get to that level and it's not, oh, don't have enough money, you know, let go of that. Can you hear in that voice, you know, if I were to say I don't have enough money, then I'm commanding the universe to say, oh, he doesn't want enough money. We'll never give him enough. Do you see?
I agree. And for a lot of us, money represents life, inside life. So when we say, I don't have enough money, that means I don't have enough life. So I usually go back and say, I've got so much life to live, and the money's going to come when it's time.
Yeah, well.
And it does, or yeah. whatever it is.
I say, I can use more money. It's very simple. I can use more money.
That.
Thank you. You know, somebody gives you $500. It's true, isn't it? You can use more money. Couldn't
yeah.
you? You could use it. You can easily. You can use it. It's like I can ride a bicycle. You know? I know how to do it. I know how to use money. There. It's just a fact of nature. And then I can use more money means that the amount of money that I have used, I can easily spend that. So if you like universe, I can go on spending this money. So give me more and I'll spend it for you. Thank you. Cause you know that the universe loves spending money, you know? And enjoy the joy of spending the money that you have the universe enjoying for the universe.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm finding, the way that it's come to be over probably the last 5 years is the universe has plans for me if I would just get on board, and if it requires money, the money comes. So I usually wake up in the morning and say, what's today for? And find out.
So what was today for, Jude?
Today was for resting, and I didn't do a very good job. I refused to go.
Why was today for resting? Is that what you decided?
Well, that's what it was for, but I didn't do it.
Well, did you do something different from normal?
I did something different.
I mean, they say a change is as good as a rest. So maybe if you did something different.
You know, that's true. I did not do what I usually do, but I did other things.
Was it fun?
Yeah, I guess today was different.
Was it fun?
It was refreshing.
There we go. That's what you wanted.
A little bit. You know, can I change the subject to the Shungite?
Yeah, if you like.
Okay. I am so in love with that stuff. I just cannot get enough. I had my deltoid, my trapezius, you know, your muscle, shoulder muscle goes from your neck to your shoulder, gets really tight sometimes, and I put the package of Shungite on there, and within 20 minutes, the muscle was completely relaxed, and the area around it for probably 2 inches on each side was completely pain-free.
Well, there you go. Another success story.
I put it on my head, and I immediately felt a low-frequency buzz, and I could feel my head kind of clearing up a little bit, and I put it, where else did I put it? I put it on my knee and my hip, and there was one other thing it did. But, yeah, it just completely opens up the channels and gets the healing done. I'm just so in love with that stuff. I gave a package to my son-in-law, too, for him to figure out what to do with.
Well, there you go. So many things you can do with it. And it's like it's a new frontier. Nobody's the expert. You're the new expert. That's what's lovely about it. That's what I like about new things like internet radio before they become all mainstreamy and taken over. Because there's a field of discovery. It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's very enjoyable.
Unless you overdo it. Who was it? Was it Nancy that... Walt sent her an apparatus, and she turned it on, and she said it almost blew her against the wall. Yeah, I think that's it. Or maybe it was vice. Well, anyway.
Well,
yeah,
devices.
Need to learn about these things before.
So, Judy. So, Judy.
Yes, sir.
Do you now have enough information to create your own personal pyramid situation?
I do.
Good. Now, if your nephew needs any more guidance, I can supply maybe documents and pictures.
That'd be great. He operates best visually, yeah.
I have to dig it up somewhere. It's a PDF I made years and years ago about, like, you know, this very simple pyramid design. So, yeah, go ahead. I'll see what I can find. Are you on Facebook?
No, I'm one of the old-fashioned kind that says I want the personal interaction.
Well, I'm just saying that on Facebook, all the designs and photographs are there. So,
okay.
Anyhow, so
I'll
that's
write
the thing.
That down.
All right, my Facebook name is jay.pee.000.
jay.pee.000. jay.pee.
Yeah.
Dot.
Naught, naught, naught. Zero, zero, zero. Three noughts. That's my coordinate on the Book of Faces.
Okay. My old lady Alzheimer's is working in here. jay.pee.000.
Correct. There you go.
Okay.
So that's how you find me on Facebook anyway.
And one last thing is, I don't usually say I told you so, but I'm going to say it this time because I told you a long time ago that you were terrific, and now you've got other people saying the same thing.
Mm.
So, I told you so.
Thank you very much, sweetheart. It's lovely to have feedback because for many years I've been doing this. And it's feel like a little voice in the megaphone against the storm. Anyway, it's all good. Yeah, you call them a bullhorn, we call them a megaphone. Just trying to shout against nothing. But here we are, and it's all good. We're all learning, and everybody's waking up and helping everybody else wake up. You know, because you know, if you've been listening to me for a couple of years now, you're in a position to now teach others stuff that you learned or you started to learn 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're now an expert in it because you've done your own research. So I'm proud of you.
I'm a graduate of JP University.
The Megaversity of Light, I think we called it. I think that's what
Megaversity.
Yeah, I think we've actually got we got the domain. James and I bought it. Sort of part of Alex Collier's ideas, you know. So yeah, the university.
Speaking of mega universities, another change of subject. What is your personal thought about Nibiru and when and how much damage and if you don't mind saying, I realize that's kind of a.
I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I just read. You know, I'm just a computer guy. You know, I don't know the future. All I can do is like ask everybody I know. What their intel is on it.
Okay.
Some people, you know, so some people say that there's, that the president is being briefed about it. Right? And everybody, you know, people are asking me this whole thing. Does it matter? How good a person are you? That's what matters. You know?
I agree.
What would happen if the world went to hell? And you were the only people that people relied on. That matters. What happens if Nibiru happens and everybody around you is losing your head and you look up and you say, ah, they were right. Dwarf star.
Well, that people depending on your part, that's kind of where I'm at. I've got 2 daughters and 2 sons-in-laws and one half of them are open to the subject, the other isn't. One half is moderately prepared, the other isn't. And I have an opportunity to take care of all of us. But if I gather resources like that, then I won't be able to do other things. So I've really been trying to listen about it. And I'm getting a sense that I do need to be accumulating a few things, but it's not going to be, for me where I am, not as bad as it's going to be for other people. And the East Coast is not a safe place to be this year at all.
People who listen to their intuition will do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to your intuition and you'll do the right thing. You know, if you're at the grocery store and you see a bag of rice for $10, guess what? It's there for you to pick up and not to say I'll get it tomorrow. It's there for you today. Act on that. You know, you see, it catches things that catch the corner of your eye. Oh, that could be handy. You know, big box of candles,
mm-hmm.
big box of tea lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't hurt. Doesn't hurt. Useful. Energy sources. Exchange your dollar energy for other energy sources.
Agreed.
Calorific value.
So, meanwhile, it's going to be an exciting year.
Yep. Yeah, well, it's all about being alive, you know? You want to feel that blood pumping through your veins? Yeah, wait for 2017. You know, you thought your blood was pumping this year? It'll pump more
exactly.
next year.
Exactly.
So, that's what
See,
it's
that's
about.
That's why I was asking about, with the generator, I was asking about arrhythmias or change in heart rate or whatever, because the energies coming in are affecting my electrical system and my muscles and my arms, my pain. I can feel the waves, and it hurts sometimes. And then my heart starts beating irregularly, so I have to just put my hand over it and say, just keep going normal. You'll get through this. Don't give in to that wave, and, you know, talk to it and tell it to just settle down. It's not gonna happen like this. And
you also got to understand, Judy, that your heart is the portal to your soul. And if your heart is beating rapidly, it means your soul's trying to tell you something. It's sending a message to you. Pay attention. Pay attention to this. This is important. You know?
I do pay attention. Mm. I'm an ex-nurse type. Mm-hmm. Well, nurse, period. So I do pay attention, and I know what things can mean.
Well, when I say pay attention, I'm not saying, you know, pay attention, you're going to die or anything like that. I'm saying, you know, this is a message from your higher self. This is the spirit being that you are. It's like, you know, it's showing that there's something that is stirring your heart. That means that you love it. There's a love thing going on. You know?
Okay, that's good.
Love is being expressed in some way. Might be your self-love. It might be your soul protecting you.
Uh-huh.
Make a note. It might be your soul saying, this is an exciting thing. I love this. Come on, let's do more of this. Doesn't it feel good? Yeah. Maybe it's just another latte. One latte too many, you know? See what I'm saying?
I do.
Notice what you notice. Thank you, Rebecca. So, meanwhile.
I have one more question.
All right, you got more questions. Good, good. Keep asking.
Okay. I do listen to you a lot, and you say you live in a stone cottage. And I was wondering, are the stones the walls, or do you have something between the stone and you in there?
Yeah, it's like, it's not a, you know, it's not a castle. It's called a bothy. You know, they've been around for hundreds of years, and some of them have roofs still. My one's got this tin roof, but it's like a wooden box built inside the stone wall. Yeah, it's not rendered or exposed.
And then you said you had a wood stove, and I was just imagining the wood stove getting the place really warm and the rocks heating up to room temperature, and then wondering how long it would take for them to cool down. I was just going through the mechanics of it and thought that would be a really fun place to live.
Yeah, if you got lots of coal. You're it. To get a place like, you know, getting that room temperature stone, that's, you know, you're talking 18 inches of rock. And it cools down when you don't have the stove on. You know, and it's actually, you know, there's that, the wooden box. So I'm inside a box inside the stone. So there's a kind of cool layer on the middle there. But it insulates you from the outside world. Yeah, so it keeps a kind of constant temperature all year round, which is just a bit slightly uncomfortably cold.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's the other bad part of that is it takes forever today to warm up.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, getting the water and all that stuff. But anyway, it's a little piece of heaven. You know, it's primitive, but I like it primitive. It's like having a diesel engine car, an old fashioned diesel engine car. You know, if you get an EMP, it doesn't go out; it still stays running. You know,
keep it simple.
I can go without electricity for a while. That's fine. I have batteries. My whole house is a UPS.
Your whole house is a what?
Uninterruptible power supply. It's the thing, you know, in an office you have your computers all plugged into a thing. And if the mains power goes, there's batteries that run and create a backup power system. So I have solar panels and batteries. I speak about this with Wyn Keach, on one of my shows. We talked about solar panels and all sorts of stuff. It's all in the archives under Full Spectrum Science with JP. Yes, indeed.
I would love to come up with a smaller place and have all of that incorporated, and I might be able to do that next year. And I've already been thinking about how I would do it. It's really fun to think about that and then go to Home Depot.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can get a small solar power system that has a battery and an inverter and a solar panel. You know, you get probably a lot more sun than we do here. So it'd be worth it getting a PV. PV. Solar panels. Two kinds of solar panel. PV, photovoltaic. That means light falls in and you get volts out. It's electric. And then there's heat exchanger. Which is basically you have a panel with copper pipes with fins on them that suck up the energy from the sun and warm water into the pipes. And so you get hot water out the end of these things, even in poor weather. So those are the two types of solar panel.
Yeah, the first one is more common to this area, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how far north you are, but I'm in northern Washington, right below the Canadian border by about an hour. And we have our fair share of gray, and today is one of those days. That was another reason I just wanted to put my head back under the pillow and go back to sleep. So it's going to be very fun outside.
Oh, yeah, we've had weekends like that.
We have months like this. Anyway.
Anyway, let's not talk about the weather. We're talking about pyramids. Thank you so much, Judy, for calling in. And have you got any more?
Thank you for answering my questions. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And thank you for devoting your life to this. It's just awesome. And you are a very special person in a lot of ways, and I don't know that you know that, but I feel it. You're different, and you're very good.
I know, I'm not exactly normal. Thank you so much, Judy.
Get me started on normal.
You've just passed normal. All right. Good night. Thanks for calling, Judy. Bye now. So yes. You've just passed normal. There is actually a town, where is it near Detroit, maybe in Michigan, called Normal. And, there is, so, you know, when something is past normal, it's like it's something in the factory that is created and it's within the parameters. So that's past normal. PASSED. And, oh, this is very boring. Anyway, so we've just passed normal. Somewhere in Akron. So where is it? Where's the chat room? No, it's not that one. Where's the chat room gone? Help. There we go. I'm divine. Yes. So, yes. Does my house have windows? Yes, it does have windows. It's got 1, 2, 3 windows and a door. That's it. It's 3 squares, end on end. Each square has a window in it. 2 on the side and 1 in the middle at the back. And then there's an extension in the front where there's a bathroom that has a shower and a bath and a toilet. That also extends into a conservatory. It's very humble. It's very ramshackle. It's all very old and the wood is rotting. But I call it home, and it's lovely. So, anyway, yes. Have you tried brushing your teeth with that black stuff? It's good stuff. Carbon. Activated carbon. Maybe shungite will work as well. Remove the plaque from your teeth. Hey, I've got this amazing thing, talking of teeth. I got this thing called, Normal Indiana. There we go. The ionic toothbrush. Check these out, people. Basically, the it's got a tiny little battery in it, and it puts a voltage across your body that goes in through your teeth. You can't even feel it with your teeth. It's very, very, very weak. And excuse me. And it will literally it charges the plaque that it comes across, and it charges it into another charge, which repels it from the charge of your teeth. And so it just lifts the plaque off. It's just amazing. And your teeth feel like pearls. Even my old wooden ones. Do we have Simon on for the next hour? No, this is JP, and we're coming on with Frank Jordan, who is coming on after this show. Anyway, so yes, indeed. Go to eBay, search for one of these, Hi G or Dr. Tongue. He's the more expensive one. Very good. We're all special. Hey, yeah. TV show, go to Putlocker if you can. It's called People of Earth. Brilliant TV show. It takes the mickey a bit, but it kind of gets serious as well because you can see what's going on behind it. It's about abductees, reptilians, greys, Nordics. Excellent. Good fun. Anyhow, let's wrap up the show, and so may your pyramids be with you. If you want further details, get in touch with me. I'm not difficult to find. You can catch me in the chat room sometimes, and I gave up my Facebook thing so you can befriend me and all that stuff. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been Ever Beyond, and stay tuned for the Earth Mind Think Tank. Beyond.